When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I ran into Andre in the bathroom the other day after Sean ran into Andre in the elevator.
I did.
Oh, I'm sorry. I get you guys confused. You sound alike.
That was dude. Yeah,
I sound like a WFAN, like Twitterer or Redditor.
Yeah.
By the way, before we take this phone call, I do want to set it up. This was the question that Al Dukes asked earlier this morning on the
It's your favorite show, but you don't know the name.
I always forget it.
The warm up show.
You need a touchdown. You're at the 6-yard line.
Okay.
I'm going to give you 3 running backs in today, in 2024.
Okay.
You got to hand the ball to one of them.
Got it.
Herschel Walker.
Right.
Tiki Barber.
Okay.
Emmitt Smith.
This year, 2024. So not like their primes, like right now. Jerry said Tiki Barber.
No, he didn't. He really said Herschel.
No, at the 1-yard line, he said Herschel.
He wanted to say Herschel.
All right. Whatever. Shane in Rutherford, New Jersey. What about you, Shane?
How you doing, Evan and Tiki? Yeah. I actually am calling because I wanted to just respond to JR in Somerville.
Oh, okay.
So I heard what he did. He made a couple digs. I want to respond back with just 3 quick comments.
Yes.
First of all, I wanted to respond to JR.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's listening. And start by saying Merry Christmas and not Happy Holidays.
Okay.
Second, I want to say definitely Tiki over Herschel and Emmett because I love the Giants and I love Tiki.
Okay. Thank you.
I also want to add one more thing for JR, just for JR.
Just for
listening.
JR. He was a caller who said
just
the Jets will trade Garrett Wilson to the Giants. Go ahead.
The next 4 to 5 Christmases will be the best Christmases ever here in the U.S. So I know what JR was doing. So
what?
He took a couple shots. I'm taking a couple shots.
I don't even know what shots were taken. I thought he said Garrett Wilson's getting traded to the Giants.
What he's saying is when the Mets win a World Series, that it'll be a great Christmas here in New York because they're
going to
ring
off
5 in a row.
He was talking about Garrett Wilson being traded to the Giants.
Because it's a Jet Mets fan.
Enough. Just let's do the Cinco. I'm so confused.
Cinco to 5-0 with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
And I hope they're great Christmases, by the way. Cinco de 5-0 is brought to you by Helix
Garrett
Wireless.
Garrett Wilson, 4 to 5.
I got to figure this out. But go ahead. I'm gonna pay attention to you while I figure out this brain teaser.
What was his name?
I don't remember.
The Riddler.
Ah.
You don't get that either.
No, I do. The Riddler. He does riddles. I get it. I'm very
All
confused.
Right. I'm going to continue before we lose TV here. Cinco de 5-0 is brought to you by Helix Wireless.
Merry Christmas.
Connecting everything everywhere.
4 to 5 Christmases.
And by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. Speaking of Christmas, Ev, and the holidays going to bring you back. My theme continues. I think you like this one. This is for you, so focus.
I'm trying. I'm confused. Go ahead.
The 5 best classic holiday gifts this time of season that still exist.
Oh, speaking of which, I got to get your gift. Can you do the Cinco without me? I'm going to run get your gift.
Yeah,
is that fair?
Go ahead. I'll hold it down.
Thank you, bro.
Are we serious?
Yeah, he's getting
a
gift.
Yeah, do it. Go.
All right. Let's hear it.
All right.
I'll respond.
Thank you, Tiki.
Here we go.
I like listening.
Number 5.
Candyland. In my opinion, it's the greatest board game of all time.
So you're getting it as a gift? Shouldn't you already have Candyland?
Jeez, Tiki. I mean, this is why you needed Evan here. No. I'm saying you can still get him. You think every kid has a Candyland still?
No.
What about the 4 or 5 year
olds? I see what you're saying. You're saying
the classic gifts that hold up.
Yes. Give it now to your whatever, 8-year-old.
That we loved when we were kids or whenever.
Right.
All right.
And you could play it and still enjoy it.
Of course.
A lot of the board games nowadays, I have no idea what's going on.
Right. Candyland's the best.
Right.
Still the best.
Understandable for even a 3-year old.
Candyland, the best board game for a kid? Great. All right. Here we go.
Number 4.
The Slinky. I don't care how old you are. That thing goes down the stairs the first time.
Also breaks easily.
That's a thrill.
Breaks easily.
They don't make them like they used to.
Okay. Wow, so you're thinking cheaper slinkies these days?
Yep.
How do you know that?
A lot of them are plastic.
Okay, what about the metal?
I got a regular metal slinky about a year ago for my kids. It broke within 5 minutes. Mm.
So you guys don't like that as a
got gift. Twisted.
All right, here we go.
Number three.
For the younger kids, the Tickle Me Elmo. I mean, that moment, that Elmo, that's the best.
I guess my kids
remember
are,
when they were hard to get?
That's my point. That was a classic. You couldn't get a gift. It still exists.
They were impossible to find.
Do we have gifts like that anymore? Or because of Amazon and the fact you just order stuff, that doesn't happen?
I don't think that they ever were not in stock.
They just purposely kept less for the critics. Yes. And the buzz.
So it wasn't a real thing.
Right. Yeah. The Tamagotchi was like that, if you remember. Yep. All right, here we go.
Number two.
This takes buying online, but a Nintendo 64. I think that holds up as the best game system of all time.
That was the one game system I never had.
Of course.
I was a Nintendo guy. I was a Genesis guy. I was a PlayStation guy. Never did the N64.
Really? You never played 007 on N64?
What was the rival game system at the time? Was it Genesis? I'm trying to remember the timing.
Super Nintendo?
Super Nintendo was with Sega.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So
PlayStation.
The original PlayStation?
Yeah, I think it was PlayStation because I had Super Nintendo. Like, I'm not anti-Nintendo, but the Nintendo 64, I think, rivaled Sony PlayStation 1.
I had both.
Up to the PS5 or whatever.
Right.
I went right to PlayStation. I had been loyal to the PS since it came out.
I got the throwback, the old one. It's just like a little console. Yeah. It's tiny, but it has all the old, like...
All the games loaded?
12-bit games.
Yeah.
And you can play them all. It's all in just a little thing. Same old remote control.
That's awesome.
It's awesome. It's fun.
I got to get back in the game.
Castle Wolfenstein.
Ooh. Here we go.
Number one.
And the greatest...
y'all are way too young for that.
The greatest classic Christmas gift of all time that still holds up, the Legos.
Ah.
Come on.
Except the problem with the Legos is... If I gave your daughters Legos, you'd hate me because there's a million pieces. They'd be all over the place.
Yeah, but it keeps them occupied.
All right. Gets
their brain moving. I like a Legos toy.
By the way, I thought about it while I was running again.
You say fat? You call me fat?
I said fact.
You said fact. Don't get distracted.
Like
you said
hashtag
fact.
Hashtag fact.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you
Why do you have such a negative belief on yourself?
I never disparage you.
I know.
I would never disparage you.
I know. I don't know why I heard fat.
I said fact.
You said fact. Maybe I've been hearing it my whole life.
I think that's what it is. As I was running to get you your gift, I realized that weird thing between the two callers. I think that was like political. It just hit me. Like, I think somehow our caller took JR for making some political comment, which I did not get.
What was the political comment?
I don't know.
The happy holidays, Merry Christmas.
The happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and the 4 years thing.
Well, it is also Hanukkah.
I know.
So happy Hanukkah.
And Hanukkah falls on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
New Year's Day it ends.
That's right. So I just want to say it finally hit me. I think without us understanding what was happening, two callers literally fought each other like your family does about politics.
Mm.
And I have no idea what they meant. Anyhow.
That's why you don't play politics.
Exactly.
Yes.
Holidays. You know
that's
what you do instead?
Talk about Woody Johnson?
Nope. Wu-Tang Clan.
Okay.
Anytime anybody starts talking politics, my boy Mike Horman, Wu-Tang.
Okay. It's a good idea.
You play it or you discuss it?
You play it.
Okay.
And then
you just
that's
blast it. Turn it on and blast it.
And people will stop talking about politics?
People will stop talking politics.
All right.
Are you guys ready for my gift for you?
Try it.
I'm not going to have to try it because all of my family members know. I used to love talking about politics, but everybody's just an idiot. I don't deal with it anymore. You ready for your gift?
Yeah.
All right, be honest with me if you don't like it. In fact,
you're putting so much pressure on me
close
now.
Close your eyes. I'm going to show it to the TV audience.
This is so much pressure to open a gift on TV.
Shut your eyes.
All right.
Look at this thing.
You're going to love it.
It's
you're
going to cool,
love
right?
this. He's going to love it.
Hang this one up. It's a light. All right, turn it on. Now describe it to the audience.
Oh, my God. I love this.
What is it?
It is a classic throwback you would see in the bars in the 90s. It's a glove catching a baseball with the Yankee logo. It's the Budweiser old school logo
and
with the mug.
And it's a light.
And it's a light. That is going right in my bar room.
Nice. Where the hell did you find that?
I love it.
Does it bother you if it didn't cost me anything? That's not going to bother you?
No, not at all.
So... My parents have
That's
an attic,
great.
And they are going through everything in their attic. Mm.
And they didn't want that?
My dad, my family?
Well, I want to know why they had it in their
why
attic.
Why did they have it in the first place?
They're Met fans.
So I think the backstory is my dad is a CPA, had a lot of clients, and one of his clients who had a bar was always like, when it wasn't being, hey, you want this? Hey, you want that? So he would take it. He'd be like, yeah, sure. So I've got some Met stuff as well, but my mom and dad came across that, and they thought of Sean Morash.
I love it. I love it. For those who know, I have great like outdoor sports bar activities. That is going right up there. It's going to be an extra light all summer long for Yankee baseball. I love
it. Now, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a question before we ask you know who.
Loogie.
What if I had the exact same thing except with a Met logo? He's the kind of guy that wouldn't appreciate it. Is that fair to say?
What am I going to do with this?
Yeah.
Just give me cash.
Right.
By the way, I don't care if you said right now, hey, I'm going to give you $500 as a Christmas bonus, or I'm going to give you that light. I would much prefer the light because it's thoughtful and you thought of me. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank
he has
you.
Nowhere to put that light.
That's what I figured his issue would be.
I got one place he could put it.
So, hypothetically, Tommy, if I had a beautiful light that I just showed, and Sean described it, it's a Yankee logo, in this case a Met logo with a Budweiser logo.
Yep.
Got no issues with Bud. What would you say if I got that for you as a gift?
I would say stick it up where the sun doesn't shine.
This is why I don't get him stuff. He's very unappreciative.
I could take that $500 he'd give me and come up with a few thoughtful gifts for myself.
First of all, why would you ever reveal the amount of money
you just said $500 on the air.
I said that, and I have no idea.
Yeah. I have no idea.
It was just a hypothetical number that we used.
Yeah.
You guys could have your own conversation.
The biggest issue I have at the holiday season, me and my wife were having this discussion last night, this no longer involves Tommy, was... My wife said, are you going to give the tips out to sanitation and the mem and the whole thing? I said, of course. I got it all ready to go. She says, do you have the number written down on what you gave last year? And I was like, damn it. I think I wrote it down, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will tell you without bragging, we are massive tippers. Okay, it's just an attitude we have of it's the holidays. We'd rather go the other way. So, for example, I went on Google and they said the average tip for a sanitation worker, they say they advise $10 to $20. We destroy that.
Mm.
I'm not bragging. What I'm saying is I had a very high number, and I said, oh, we're going to do this. And she's like, what if it's less than last year? He's going to hate you. And I'm like, is he?
You write down everything. You don't write that down?
I did. I couldn't find the document.
Dude, I did.
Then when I found the document, my wife accused me of it being 2 years old, that it was 2 years ago, not last year.
No, you got to be more personal with these people. I found out what my mailman gets, the biggest tip he gets in my neighborhood.
What is it?
I'm not going to tell you.
No, I need to know. Because then it would help guide all of us.
He told me the biggest tip he got was $100.
Okay.
So what do I do every year?
101.
Yep.
Damn right.
Yep.
Damn right.
You're not out tipping me in my neighborhood.
No.
I'm the big candy bar guy in the neighborhood. I'm the big mailman tipper.
That's how I feel. But the issue one has this time of year is not necessarily what the number should be. It's the consistency of the number, because you don't want to give less a number, even if it's a high number. Like, if I tip my sanitation guy $120, which is an amazing tip, but I give him $100 this year, he's going to be like, what'd I do
wrong? Is it one guy or is it multiple guys?
One for the garbage, two for the recycling.
Right.
Really? See, our neighborhood, we get the stupid crane. They pull up, they press a button, and it dumps the thing in, and you can only have the towns. I don't feel like I should tip these guys anything.
Oh, Sean.
The mailman's at least huffing it in the weather. You're pressing a lever button, dude.
So you don't give him anything?
We do. Begrudgingly.
Begrudgingly? He's in a truck all day driving to take your dirty, disgusting garbage.
He presses a button.
So what?
Hold on. Well,
Back in my day, the mailman got out. They stunk like the stuff they put it in. His clothes don't even get dirty.
Right. What do you think Lukey's doing over there?
Exactly. I got to get more than 100. Yeah. By the way, Evan, I wrote down what you gave me last year, and this is your first Christmas without Big Mac, so you could argue doubling it?
I'm totally giving him nothing this year.
Give me
so rude.
We're negotiating.
He's so rude.
I'm not
negotiating.
Rude.
How am I being rude? He's rude. I gave you a present.
Who negotiates a tip?
I know.
No, you didn't give me a present. You hypothetically gave me a present, and you asked for my hypothetical response.
Yeah. Sean, I skipped this year, right?
He feels like somebody pathetic that puts a little cold foam at Starbucks and begs for $3.
I agree. In fact, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say this. You're getting nothing this year, but if you're well-behaved, okay.
Well behaved.
March 1st, I'll give you an even bigger
one. Talking to my dog.
I know. Well, sometimes you got to do that. I need you to be more well behaved, and then on March 1st, I'll give you an even bigger number, but I need you to start behaving. Is that fair?
No, I'm not going to behave.
Well, that's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
You like that, Sean?
Money hungry pig. I'm with you, Evan.
Money hungry pig. Now, speaking of pressing buttons, he has a very important job right now because we are down to just 8 remaining memories from 24 and 24. We've been doing this since last week. There is a committee here at WFAN that ranked the most memorable moments in New York sports over this past year. So we started with 24. We were revealing 2 a day. We are down to the final 8, and I've been told we're going to reveal 4 today and 4 tomorrow until we get to the most memorable moment in New York sports. So we are up to number 8. We have gone through so many different football moments. We've gone through a lot of Nick moments. We've had a few baseball moments. I assume there's a lot of baseball left because baseball was so memorable in 2024. But honestly, I have no idea. So, ladies and gentlemen, we hand it over to announcer guy as we unveil number 8.
Number 8. Little did we know its impact at the time, but beloved McDonald's character Grimace throws out the first pitch before a Mets game.
Fans, please direct your attention to the pitcher's mound for a ceremonial first pitch. Introducing the ultimate baseball fan. All the way from McDonaldland, please welcome the one, the only, Grimace. Our ceremonial catcher is Vito Calise, the co-host of the Mets official podcast, Meet at the Apple. All right, Grimace, it's your pitch.
All right, so this was before the craze, right?
This is what created the craze.
Okay, did you hear the applause?
There was nothing.
Exactly.
Because no one was in the ballpark. They were playing a game that night against the Marlins, if my research is correct. It was either the Marlins.
So
I think it was
how was that memorable?
Because it became memorable.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I would not have this at 8. No. I'm being with you right now because I don't think in the moment anyone cared.
I don't think there's a moment that you can put. Grimace deserves to be in the memorable moments, but not that moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, he became a rally cry.
I'm trying to think of when the moment was where it's like, oh, I care about Grimace a little bit.
See, that's why, that's the genius of the moment. Because you didn't realize you cared until you cared.
Yeah, but I don't remember that moment.
No one does, because there was no one in the ballpark. Like, it was, I don't even remember the game. It was either the Marlins or the Diamondback series. I don't know, do you remember? Was it the Marlins or the Diamondbacks?
I honestly don't, but Marlins sounds about right.
Yeah, and then they had a game-winning home run to win the finale of that series.
Yep.
It was a big swing win,
yep.
And then they went on a roll. So it was connected.
It's social media-driven, too, because it became, you know, they started the streak when Grimace threw out the first pitch, and that's where it caught fire.
The big Grimace moment for me, we were at the game, Subway Series, at Citi Field. Remember that huge rainstorm we had, and there was a delay?
Yeah.
There was some dude or gal dressed up like Grimace, and they were on the Shea Bridge, like, chugging beers.
Yeah.
And the crowd around Grimace was unreal. That, to me, is where Grimace, you realize the power of what was going on.
But it was a slow build, to Tiki's point. It wasn't just that moment. Like, we don't remember the game, so respectfully disagree with the committee.
Right.
I wouldn't have had that at number 8, but, well, what the hell do I know? Let's hear number 7.
Number 7. Pete Alonso saves his legacy and the Mets season with a game-winning home run in a winner-take-all game against the Brewers.
3-1 to Alonso. Williams sets. Here's the pitch. Swing and a fly ball to right field. Pretty well hit. Freelick back at the wall. He jumps. It's gone. Ah! He did it. He did it. Pete Alonso with the most memorable home run of his career. Pumps his fist as he rounds second. It's a 3-run homer. He's given the Mets a 3-2 lead. They all pour out of the dugout. Alonso on his way to home plate. They're waiting for him.
That, how is that number 7?
I don't know. That one should be higher because I'm not even a Met fan and I remember where I was.
Dude, I'd argue that's number 1. Like, if I was making a list, if this was me, and it's not as much as Sean accuses me, this would be, forget about number 7, it'd be number 1.
Oh, no. They advanced another round after this to get to it.
Yeah, but that moment was, like, iconic. You remember where you were, don't you?
Watching football on the couch, yeah.
Hmm. Watching football on the couch?
With the sound on. It was during a Thursday night game. Right. The Mets were on the second TV.
Yeah, because I was on a plane sitting next to Steve Smith, not that Steve Smith, and Met fans were on the plane.
Right.
Because they were Met Giant fans.
I remember you saying
going
that.
Out to Seattle.
Yeah, yeah.
And they all just started freaking out. One guy comes running up from the back. Guy sitting in the front. He's got it on his phone. He's like, Pete Alonso just up. I'll never forget it.
That's awesome.
By the way, an overtime football game, too. See? It wasn't even the most popular thing tonight.
Who played the overtime game?
The Falcons beat the Bucks 36-30 in overtime.
You looked it up. There's no way you remember that. Mm. I don't believe you remember that.
By the way, the Falcons have beaten the Bucks twice this year.
Yes, they have.
Yeah.
That's kind of sad that you're a New York sports talk radio host. And your memory is, oh, yeah, it was a great football game. I guess the Mets played. Mm. Well, what is that?
Because the Mets and
Brewers. You're not doing a national show anymore, bro. You're not on the Infinity Sports Network
nobody
with 12
cares
listeners.
About the,
come on.
Nobody cares about the Falcons and the Buccaneers.
Yeah. That's embarrassing.
Bucks are going to make the playoffs again.
I know.
Evan, I don't mean to brag, but you and I have very similar media rooms with multiple TVs. Okay?
Yeah, but you said it was the second TV.
With the sound off.
With sound off.
Because you might remember at that point, I was getting late for the Mets and I'm starting to get boring. And by the way, with all due respect, I think I speak for everybody on the show. You had beaten the Mets out of us by that point. You know, we had done the Braves.
It was still a memorable moment.
Yeah, I agree. I would have put that as my top moment, but somehow it's number 7, which has me intrigued. If that's number 7, we got a bunch of moments that are ahead of that. I have a tough time.
And there's no
that.
Football, so
yeah. Well, I mean, that's easy to understand.
Right.
This football season was just a disaster.
6 baseball moments. I guess there's basketball.
I think it's all baseball. Think about it. Yeah, the Yankees went to the World Series and the Mets.
True.
I mean, I think we're done with the basketball. In fact, that's what the committee told me the other day. We're done with the Knicks. I think it's all baseball.
Oh, that's right. You did say that. And obviously, the Nets aren't going
to
be.
And Evan has said two things in the last 3 minutes. The Yankees went to the World Series, and I can't believe a wild card homer wasn't number one.
I think I still would have put it number
one. We're talking memorable.
We're talking memorable.
Juan Soto hit a home run on the most crazy at-bat
in
the 10th inning.
Game five, you had room.
Right.
You had a margin for error. You had 6-7 at home if need be.
Game five is later than a game three.
It's a best of three.
Three-game series.
Don't give me that.
Don't get in the way of facts.
Anyhow, let's get to number six.
Number six. In shocking fashion, Francisco Lindor hits a game-winning two-run home run against the Braves in game 161.
Swinging a high fly ball, well hit right center. Harris going back. It's on the way. It is gone. Into the Braves bullpen in right center field. Francisco Lindor has an MVP moment. Whether he wins one or not, he has just put the Mets back on top. 8-7.
I got to tell you, these moments are making me tear up.
Yeah. That's better than a loss.
That's back-to-back beauty.
That's about right.
You think that should be ahead of Pete?
I think that one's about right.
Are you biased because we all had a special moment together doing a live watch party?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think everybody was watching this game. If you cared about the Mets, you were watching this game.
And also, remember where we were in the world. The Met fans did not believe they could exorcise the Braves' demons.
Yeah, that's right.
And the way that they had fallen apart and back and forth in that game until that moment.
Okay, but
the fact that it got postponed and moved to Monday.
No, and remember, Diaz had just blown the lead.
Yeah.
So the Mets had made a great comeback. Diaz blew the lead, and then, boom, the Mets took it right back. It was an unbelievable game, and obviously it should be in the top five. It didn't even make the top five. Mm-hmm. It's number six. But I got to use Sean's words against him, because on that day, game 161, we did a live watch party here on WFAN. It was a lot of fun. But Sean kept telling me, even if you lose this game, no big deal. You get the second game of the doubleheader. The Braves aren't going to play anybody. It's in the bag. You're going to make the playoffs. So how could you put that home run where there was a safety net above Alonso not only saving the Mets season, but saving his legacy?
Bro, you ain't working with Joe and Craig anymore. You're working with me and Tiki. I'm going to use your words against you
now.
What
is that? Why are you taking a shot at Joe and Craig?
I'm not taking a shot
at them. What the hell did they do?
Because they wouldn't push back.
Because they wouldn't push back and remember things that I'm going to remember.
They weren't the same.
They weren't paying attention the way we pay attention.
They stopped caring.
You just pushed my words against you. You remember what I said that day? I remember what you said that day.
What'd I say?
Sean, how could you say that? There's no guarantee they're winning game two.
I know.
This ended all doubts. You got it done with ease because of Lindor.
Sean, I agree with everything I said, and I stand by it.
The Braves demons are dead.
The Mets had a safety net. If they didn't win the game, they were going to play a second game. When they were losing to the Brewers in the ninth inning of game three, there was no safety net. And the other factor that I think is huge, this is why to me it's number one. I put it above everything. Pete Alonso's legacy was on the line.
Yeah.
If he doesn't get that hit, he's being run out of town right now.
Pete Alonso doesn't get that moment maybe if Lindor doesn't homer.
Right. And by the way, to Sean, that was just the first of the three hills that they still had to climb.
That's right. No. I remember. Tiki remembers, again, because he's a good memory, that I had that call. I don't know why that's not in there.
God.
Yeah. Oh, your call from the Lindor home run?
You were freaking out and humping Loogie on the side doing something else.
Yep. That is
so Sean were stuck just talking through the most epic moment in Mets history, even beyond the World Series and et cetera.
Well,
I'm exaggerating.
Okay.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
We had to do the call, and Sean, epic call. We have it.
No, I'm such a Met hater, yet I had the best Mets call of the whole
time. I will give you this. I agree that call should have been a part of the countdown. That's the committee's fault. We don't have anything to do with these clips. Mm. The committee supplies them, so that's not on me, but I do agree. Do we even have the Morash call from game 161? Is it in our system somewhere?
The committee has a big mouth. Let me look through this. Maybe the committee would have the cut ready earlier. I'll have to look for it here, that committee.
What are you mad at the committee? I don't even know the committee. All I know
you would think the committee would be prepared. We have this big 24 thing. We've been counting down forever. And then the committee who sends me this stuff didn't send me that.
Why? I don't know who.
Because I'm mad at the committee for being lazy.
So then email them. Don't bother me about this.
Well, I'm writing a very scathing email right now.
I usually send Tommy clips, but I have nothing to do with this. Anyhow.
And by the way, while you're writing an email, can you take the winter hat off? What's next? You going to play hacky sack?
You know what? I've had enough.
Enough of the whole
of all of you. Let's go.
All right, let's get to number five. What's ahead of Lindor and Pete Alonso's amazing home.
Number five, Francisco Lindor rocks Citi Field as he hits a grand slam home run off Carlos Estevez to help the Mets eliminate the Phillies in the NLDS.
Swing and a drive towards the gap in right center. It's pretty deep. It's back near the wall. It's gone. It's gone. Francisco Lindor. He may have just outdone himself. He has hit a grand slam into the Phillies bullpen in right center field. The Mets are leading by a score of 4-1. They were famished for the big hit all night. And Francisco Lindor just provided a feast. Mets 4, Phillies 1 here in the sixth inning.
Another amazing call by Howie Rose. I just completely disagree with the committee on this every way forward.
Why?
Because, and look, I also feel like the committee just dumped the Mets out today. Like, oh, let's get the Mets out of the way with 8-7, 6-5. Let's save the Yankees for the end. Mm. But okay, that's an argument for tomorrow.
Second of the hills they had to climb.
But if I was ranking...
Died on the third one.
The Met memories this season... I think they have it completely backwards. I would go Alonso's home run number one, Lindor game 161 number two, and then that grand slam. And I'm not trying to demean the grand slam. It was amazing. I was in the building with Tommy. It was awesome. Dude, Shea. Citi Field was rocking. It was unbelievable. But compared to the desperation, I think, of 161 against the Braves and the game against the Brewers, I got to tell you, I put that in third. I don't put that ahead of the other
game. I agree, too. This was the sixth inning. Yeah. I think you're right. The committee screwed this one up. They valued a grand slam. They valued like that.
Right.
No, you know what I think it was? I don't think it was the grand slam, though. Maybe that had something to do with it. I think it was the homeness of it being at Citi Field. The fact that there are a lot of people out there who were there, and it's like extra special because you were there. I think that's where it got
And it was the first time they've clinched at home since, Evan?
In a playoff series? Yeah. Since 2000.
So, I mean, we're talking about 24 years in the making, that home run, the MVP-type season against Philly. That's rock
star. Would you put
stuff.
That ahead of Alonso? This season was about to end, and his legacy was dead.
No, I would not put it. I think Alonso should have been, like, one or two, to be honest.
I agree.
On this entire list.
I think Pete should have been number one.
Pete
I put
got
up
screwed
against
here, clearly.
I agree. They're out to get Pete. They're all out to get Pete.
Did David Stearns make this list? Is he the committee?
It feels that way. All right, so we're down to four through number one. What do you think, Teak? Do you agree with that, Met? Because this was kind of a Met ranking today.
Well, it was incremental.
Yeah.
So it worked.
Oh, because they went by round.
Yes.
Well, not really, because Alonso was in the wild card round. Then you go backwards to Lindor, and then you go forwards to the divisional series against Philadelphia.
I think it was right, because the Philly victory was the big one. Because everybody thought, except for those that realized that the Mets were actually better than the Phillies, that the Phillies were walking through.
No, I know, but I think in a game four at home, you have the comfort of, okay, if this doesn't work, there's a game five, you never
but it
know.
It was also at home. As Lukey said, he was right. It was at home.
Well, that's what I said, but we can give Lukey the credit, too.
Lukey, I'll give you the credit.
Thank you, Tiki. We're big on taking credit here. Do we want to do a short-term prediction, Evan, on what we think number one will be?
I think number one will be...
It's something Juan Soto.
Soto sending the Yankees to the World Series.
Mm. It's something Juan Soto for sure.
I mean, that's where I would lean.
It's memorable. It's the fifth inning.
Oh, you're going negative.
So Judge dropping.
I already know where the committee feels, based on today, very pro-Metsian. I'm going to go. I think
pro-Mets?
First of all, you're dead wrong. They dumped the Mets out at 8-5. How is that pro-Metsian?
Right, what other moment? There's no other
the
moment.
The Mets are done,
There's
basically.
No other Mets moment.
You guys don't know how Mets fans operate.
How's that?
What? Being pro-Metsian means, first and foremost, being anti-Yankean. So you're going to get some the way the Yankees came up short in the World Series here.
No. Well, we'll see. I have no idea. All I know is that the Mets, you know, they're done now, I guess. But Lindor's grand slam, very cool moment. I don't want to take anything away from it because it's like picking between children to say, hey, this was better than that. Lugny and I were standing right next to each other. Al Cintron was there. We got to share it with a bunch of Philly douches, too, which was kind of cool.
Very, very cool.
And it was awesome. Like, it was a magical day. I thought it was really cool when Tiki kicked us out because we kept talking about the Met playoff game. We raced over to Citi Field. We got there. Right as the Phillies took the lead.
We were going through security as this was happening.
And we wouldn't leave security until the half inning was over.
Yes.
Then we don't have seats, so we're standing kind of in this corridor area watching the rest of the game. So it is going to be remembered forever for all of us. And for anyone that was there, I totally get that. It's game four. It's a grand slam in the sixth inning. Pete Alonso saved his Met legacy.
And what I remember most from that Lindor Grand Slam is Evan held his scorebook like it was his child. That is commitment. You didn't let that bad boy down. The moment wasn't too big for the scorebook being put on the floor.
I was ready, man. More of your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. We'll make a pick on tonight's football game. Plus, I know football will have everybody's attention, but is tonight revenge night in Minneapolis, Minnesota, involving the New York Knicks? We'll touch on that coming up. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. Interesting hoops night tonight. The NBA's back after the NBA Cup gave us a little vacation. The Knicks are in Minnesota against the Timberwolves. Tell me, I don't think because it's in Minnesota, like, there should be any extra intrigue or revenge for the Knicks. Like, they traded Julius, they traded Dante DiVincenzo. When they come back to Madison Square Garden, I'm with you. I think it'll be interesting. Crowd reaction, the whole thing.
Agreed.
But tonight, to me, this is more about Minnesota.
Yeah.
This is about how the crowd's going to react to Cat. Guy who had a very good career there, was traded away to the Knicks right before training camp.
And he's better now.
Yeah, I mean, he's tremendous.
Seems it.
You know what I found weird? I was talking to my neighbor about this morning. Not that DiVincenzo's been terrible, okay? And you guys will see that tonight. Like, his stats this year are some of the worst he's ever had in his NBA career, shooting like 31% from three, 34% from the floor. Whatever reason, he's having a bad year. So, Knick fans, you could chuckle about that. Julius Randle's stats are really good.
Right.
You would argue, or could argue, they're some of the best stats of his career. Yet, the Timberwolf fan will tell you that they hate him.
Why? Because he's the things that we got used to?
Correct.
Yeah.
Defense, effort, body language. That's what I've heard from Timberwolf fans. So it's funny how, you know, numbers can sometimes tell you half a story, but not the whole story.
Yeah, I think you get over that after a while because he's a good player. But I think why the Knicks fan got over it is because they brought in so many other good players around him. So it didn't affect the team in a sense. And especially after he got hurt, and then they did great without him.
Right.
It was like, okay, whatever. If he comes back, fantastic. We use the scoring, but we're not really missing him.
And I also think in Minnesota, they had a great year last year. They got to the Western Conference Finals. They're 14-11. They're off to a very averagey kind of start.
Right.
And so I think seeing Karl Anthony Towns have the success with the Knicks has caused that. But I think for the Knicks fan tonight, it's like, it's any other opponent, right?
Yeah, and this is a bad job by the NBA, but it shows that they favor a star like Karl Anthony Towns. This game should be in New York. This should be Julius and Dante's return to the Knicks.
But they're going
to
have that.
I understand that.
You're saying it shouldn't be tonight?
The first one should have been at the Garden, and it would have more sizzle, more spice, but they think Karl Anthony Towns bigger star, so him returning to Minnesota should be the first. Okay, fine,
you guys are wrong. This trade happened so long, it actually happened after the schedule release.
Oh, that's true. You're right about that.
You
good
know,
point.
You could have just, I was knocking the NBA. I was on a roll there. You know, you don't have to let that get in the defense.
I forgot about that.
But
you're
know
right.
What, though? With the NBA Cup, they just add games. They subtract games. So they could have done something.
Nah, Tommy, your point's dead. You just take the L and move on.
We just take it and move on.
Right.
So every time Sean is talking out of his rear end, I will then, you know, call a timeout.
I try to make him look like an ass, too.
Well, he does that to himself.
Yeah, just join in. It is a TNT game tonight, but I think it's more just seeing the Knicks win a basketball game and kind of build off of things and get to 17-10 more than it is playing the Timberwolves. Julius even has said it's not a big deal for him. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a big deal for him until he's at the Garden. Yeah. I think that's when it's a big deal.
I think you're right, because he doesn't know what the reaction is going to be.
Right.
And
what do you think the reaction is going to be?
I don't know.
I think he's going to get a standing ovation.
I'd lean more to that because he didn't leave and crap on the Knicks.
No, not at all.
He just kind of was like, all right, whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah.
And that even when he was asked about it a day ago or whenever he was asked about playing the Knicks, that's kind of what he said.
Like, yeah.
It is what it is. It's the business of the game.
Julius was, he became a lightning rod around here. There was a lot of, you got to get rid of him. He's a loser. Mm-hmm. Always amazing. A lot of kind of debate around him. But I think ultimately, Knicks fans will look back at him positively because he came here at a time and when things were very dark.
Yeah, he was at the beginning of what the transformation that the Knicks became.
100%. And they were a playoff team in which he was their clear star player. He may have come up small in that series, but they still made the playoffs. There was a lot of excitement in Madison Square Garden. And so there were some bad times mixed in, the thumbs down, the F you, all that kind of stuff. But ultimately, I think you look at him positively. I think he's going to get a standing ovation.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Julius will 100% get a standing ovation.
And I think DDV will as well. Dante DiVincenzo. Yes.
Yeah.
Standing?
Yeah. Knicks fans are suckers, bro.
Well, then you didn't have to throw the suckers. Julius did a lot for the organization. You pointed it out, almost like a Amar'e Stoudemire. Yeah. He came here when other guys wouldn't.
I think just like an ovation. Yay, we like you. I don't think you're standing.
I think it's going to be massive.
Really?
Yeah. I think sometimes
he didn't win anything.
I know, but he helped turn, him around.
Yeah, but he wasn't even available last year.
I know.
Okay.
He was the start of the turnaround. People think it's Brunson, but it was Julius.
No, it was definitely Julius. Jalen took him to another level, but Julius Randle was the start of the turnaround. By the way, before we get to your calls, so you know how like there's this big conversation? We haven't had it around here. Mm-hmm. I think it's boring. Maybe we'll get to it later. That the NBA ratings are down, and people are like, why do you think the ratings are down?
Yeah.
Why is the ratings down? There's too many three-point shots. The ratings are down.
It's not the three-point shots.
No, I know. And we could maybe have a philosophical conversation about it at some point. But Joe Mazzulla, the head coach of the Celtics, I made this promise to Tiki. I told Tiki during the summer that Joe Mazzulla is one of the most interesting people in the world. And he said, can you give me examples? And I said, you know what I'll do? When Joe Mazzulla says something really weird or interesting, I'll play it for you live on the radio.
And it's mostly weird.
Yes. He's a weird guy, but yes. I like weird guys.
Yes. And it's almost like he's doing it on purpose sometimes.
I think so. Or not. I'm not sure, but I haven't figured him out yet.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is shtick. So Joe Mazzulla gets this long-winded question about the ratings being down, which I think is odd. Like, why are you asking an NBA head coach?
He doesn't care.
But long-winded, like, the ratings are down. No one's watching the NBA. Blah, 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 blah. What do you think? Listen carefully to Joe Mazzulla's answer, and you will realize that he is very special.
No, I mean, I add to that. I don't watch NBA games, so I'm just as much a follower as anyone else's.
Is there a reason for that?
I don't like watching the games.
I don't like watching the games.
Mm.
He said, I don't watch NBA games. I contribute to it.
Right.
Well, why, coach? I just don't like watching the games. Can you imagine that?
Well, I mean, obviously he's coaching the game, so.
Well, but he has plenty of off days.
That's the obvious answer.
No, he could. When the Celtics.
Because it's my job, and I don't want to do my job when I'm not doing my job. Right? If we're playing a team, trust me, I'm going to watch a lot of tape. I'm going to be all dialed in. But I don't want to do my job 24 hours a day.
If he had said that, I think we'd understand. That's not what he said. He said, I don't like the game. I don't watch it. That's what he literally said.
No, he said, I don't like watching
it. Yeah, I don't like watching it.
He doesn't say he doesn't like the game. He doesn't like watching the game.
He doesn't like watching the game.
That's pretty epic, though.
He's amazing. Can you imagine Andy Reid saying that?
No.
Andy, the NFL ratings are down a smudge. You have an opinion on why?
Right.
I don't know. I don't watch.
Right.
I couldn't watch this crap. Joe Mazzulla.
I like watching the games.
I like watching them. They're boring to me. That's when you know the NBA's got a problem.
He should have said, I don't like watching it. There's way too many three-pointers. The 90s are better. That was the really, really dig in on it.
If he did that, though, you'd know he's trolling.
That's fair. That's a good point.
Then it would be the ultimate troll. I am sure at some point we will have this discussion about the NBA's popularity. I will give you a preview. Mm-hmm. The NBA literally doesn't have an issue. It's a fabricated, made-up issue. And I have reasons for that.
Really?
You want me to unveil that now or later? Yeah. Nah, later. I'll tell you why it's not really a thing.
It's a good tease, right? Though.
You like that one?
Yeah. Because a lot of people think the ratings are down. But
the ratings are down.
No.
It's not a real issue.
Of lack of interest.
Yeah. It's not a real issue. But I'll explain that at a later date. 888-808-1019. John is in Bayonne, New Jersey. Oh, by SNY. Thank you, SNY. You guys are wonderful. We love you. Baseball Night in New York is presented by Tri-State Cadillac. That's next on SNY. Love you, SNY. Anyhow, John's in Bayonne. What's up, John?
Evan, you're one of the biggest Mets fans, okay, that I hear on a fan. And I get Sal hanging up on me because they said the Martian is a better ball player than Soto. Okay? And he didn't let me finish.
I mean, that is a stupid comment. I'm not going to cut you off.
I'm going to
co-sign Sal and say, hold on, let me do a Sal imitation. I'll let you continue, all right?
Yeah.
You're an idiot!
He didn't even give him a chance to do that. What I was trying to say to him that he didn't let me get through to him was, the Martian is 21 and he's got all the tools, okay? Soto is 26, mm-hmm. okay? So the Yankees' plan was this. If they won the World Series with Soto, they would have signed him, number one. Number two, if Soto would have outbeat Judge, then Soto would have stayed. Soto is his own man, like Aaron Rodgers. He wants it his way or no way. And that's why Glad Verrero is going to be a Met. Okay? Not Pete Alonso.
All right, you've said a lot of things. You've said a lot of things, some of which I think are wrong, but that's okay.
Are you an idiot?
I want to start with, you think Soto was told, because I like conspiracies.
Yeah.
Do you think Soto was told in free agency, or Soto told them in free agency, hey, I'll come to your team, go get me Vlad Jr. in a year? You think that's what happened?
Yes, because when it comes out, Vlad don't want to be a Yankee.
Well, I know Vlad doesn't want to be a Yankee, but is Soto making demands on who he wants to have as his teammates?
I guess, I can't imagine that.
No, I think what the Mets told him, we're going to spend. We're going to try to win. Now, I think some Met fans may respond to that and say, well, when are you going to start doing that after Soto? Because in the week and a half, that's occurred.
Well, you know, they definitely told him that because he talked about chatting with Steve Cohen about the plan, like the future. And I like the path that they're on, what they're planning on doing. Of course, that's what they talked about.
Do you know what our last caller did?
What's
it's
that?
Very interesting. And I understand why Sal got angry and hung up on him. He did this trick that used to happen at a bagel store where I grew up on Long Island. Okay,
so bagel this store. I hope it makes sense.
It will make sense.
All right.
So there was this bagel store in Long Island, and there was a big sign on the door that said sex.
What?
I swear to God. And then you read it and says, now that we have your attention, buy 12 bagels for whatever, like a wholesale.
Yeah.
And the gimmick was they said sex to draw your eyes in.
Right.
Kevin Owens of the WWE, who you guys are aware of, dirtily beat up Cody Rhodes the other day, has a tweet in which it says, balls. Now that I got your attention, I'm the real W. And he continues with his gimmick. Sometimes people will say something to draw you in. It's a word. Maybe it's sexual, like the case. Or maybe it's something stupid. I think our last caller drew us into his phone call.
Yes. And it backfired against Sal because Sal just hung up on him.
Sal just hung up on him.
What are we doing here?
Sal was just like, you're an idiot because you said something dumb, which is Jason Dominguez is better than Juan Soto. Obviously, that's ridiculous. Now, could he be 10 years from now? Sure, it's baseball. You never know. It's very unlikely that's going to happen. His entire phone call after he made the crazy comment had nothing to do with it. It went to Soto's a free agent. They would have signed him if this happened. He demands Vlad Jr. Had nothing to do with Dominguez. So I think our last caller attempted to do what the bagel store did and what Kevin Owens is doing, which is, I drew you in by the dumb comment.
Right.
Tommy, write that down. That is a great gimmick for your show. You do that a lot anyway.
I sort of do that anyway.
Exactly.
To start the show, but I never thought about just one word. It's usually like a couple of words.
You can do a couple of words, but then here's the trick. What you end up talking about has nothing to do with what you're
going to say. So I would just do like, you know, loogie sex, and then just talk about Clay Holmes.
Correct.
I love it.
Correct. How about this? I'll give
you could argue someone that used to work here used to do that.
Who would do that?
Joking.
Oh, I don't know the joke. But that's what you got to do. And you can do it with sports opinions, right? So it doesn't have to just be a word like the bagel store or like Kevin Owens. So you can say, for example... I had so many in my head. I don't want to use any of them. Right. I just...
All right, loogie, Bartolo Colon lap band.
You'd be an idiot.
Right. Into a take.
I have so many, I can't say any of them. Because they're so, like, not appropriate.
That's the point, though. So you just want to clean it up, you're saying?
Do you want me to say all of them?
No, but, like, clean up a little bit.
Well, it's not even cleaning up. It's just offending people. But you can say something.
I don't want to offend people on that level.
Say something.
Yeah, you just want
to. Lukey.
Right.
Evan's nose hair. Meanwhile, the Giants. Brian Davis.
Exactly. But that's what our last caller did. And, you know, we didn't hang up on him. We just let him kind of finish. And he made some whatever points about. I forgot his points, actually. I think he said
the age, I think, is what his big crux. Because he started with Dominguez is 21 years old. So that was his strongest argument.
But that was it. Then it ended.
You're right. It did end.
Well, I think he was also saying he's a more tool player than Soto.
Oh, we'll see. Hey, listen,
but we have no idea. I mean, Dominguez played the end of a season that was meaningless, and he didn't really hang last year.
Yeah, is Jason Dominguez going to be a superstar? Sean Morash?
I think he's going to be a perennial all-star.
Okay.
I do.
By the way, that's pretty aggressive.
Yeah. I don't know. Superstar's weird. Like, what do you consider a superstar? You know what I mean?
Aaron Judge was a superstar.
Right. He's not going
to the year and hit 52 home runs in his rookie season. You knew.
Yeah, right.
He's not going to be a superstar, but I think he's going to be a very good all-star for a long time.
Hey, one thing we've learned with young players, I think Gleyber's a great example of this. Even if a guy is really good, really young, doesn't mean they're a star. Gleyber, I remember.
Well, they got to evolve. They got to become better.
Yeah, they've got to maintain, not go backwards. Right. But I think Jason Dominguez has a wonderful future. We're all going to get to watch him.